Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bajaj Electricals Q2 FY23 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q2 FY23 results conference call of Bajaj Electricals Limited. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Anuj Poddar, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. E.C. Prasad, CFO. Now I hand over the call to the management for their initial comments, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, Anuj, sir.
I'll just make a few headline comments then pass it back to all of you for questions. Clearly from a demand environment and from an economic position, it has been a tough quarter. Given the situation of the external environment, we believe we've delivered a decently good performance with which we are satisfied. I'll just call out a few data points. While we've had a slight degrowth on our top line revenue level, if I look at a three-year CAGR trend, particularly for consumer business, we've had a 14.3% growth on a three-year CAGR basis. If I look at the three segments, by the way, the headline call out right now is we've restructured the segmental reporting as we had announced earlier. Now we have three segments, the consumer product segment, the lighting solutions segment, and the EPC segment. The consumer product segment is what I first spoke about. We have a CAGR of about 14.3%. The lighting solution segment is a highlight for this quarter. That's intentionally carved out as a separate BU to create more focus and growth for us in that segment. The first signs of performance that you're seeing there is the margin expansion and the growth in EBIT that you've seen for that business. Going forward, we're very bullish on that, business driving growth and performance for us. Third is on the EPC front too. EPC, after many quarters of losses, last quarter was a moderate breakeven. This quarter we've delivered profitable EBIT on the EPC front. Lastly, on the cash flow perspective front, we remain positive. Headline there again for you is that actually this quarter we've had very low collections from EPC. Despite that, we've had a positive cash from operations. We have had significant cash collections from EPC post 30th September, which I'll be happy to talk about during the call. Having said this, on an overall basis, we are reasonably pleased with our performance relative to industry. More importantly, strategically, we continue to focus on our direction that we're taking as a company, including premiumization, stepping up our product offerings and a brand repositioning, which we've done very recently, and I'll be happy to talk about that. With that, back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just couple of questions. Historically, we have been talking about market share gains and scaling up our presence into larger cities and lowering our dependence on rural markets or probably smaller cities and towns. However, when we look at the numbers, probably even like most of the peers have reported their numbers. Probably we should have ideally done better on the consumer side. Probably can you highlight, because especially in your first quarter phone call also at that point of time, the demand was far better in rural markets. Probably where this slipped actually versus what you guys were internally expecting.
If I may be candid, I don't think we've slipped. That rural economy, tier two, middle class, even urban, the non-premium segment is continuing to be a very weak demand. That is a common commentary you'll see across our industry and other sectors or other industries also. Clearly, Bajaj is not a premium brand today, and therefore our contribution from non-premium is much higher from a product category consumer segment. and from a rural is much higher. Given that both of these, the non-premium and rural, is seeing weaker demand, it is natural that our, you know, impact to us or the headwinds for us are higher. So if you factor that in, I don't think we've done badly. Number two, and I, you know, there's anecdotal data points we look at different cuts. For example, fans, if you look at our fans, degrowth is about 7%. If you look at industry, most of industry has seen a degrowth in Q2 for the reasons of conversion to mandatory star rating regime, etc. But within that, the qualitative data points that we're tracking is, for example, in fans, our contribution from premium fans used to be about 6% of our revenues in the past. Today, it is up to about 19%. We're seeing that traction in the marketplace in counter share, etc., in segments or categories or counters where we are not available. Similarly, on mixers, when we look at 750, we're seeing that expansion. So when we look at various primary research reports that we track, we are seeing positive momentum on market shares, on this journey towards premiumization, and on our counter shares across urban India. But the way the math adds up, given the softness and the weightages that we have, that's the only impact that you're seeing. But we are not really, you know, seeing that at a qualitative level.
So based on this, should we assume that probably whatever quarters we have gone by, Q1, Q2, and probably next couple of quarters as well,
yeah,
this should be considered as a very soft base or a favorable base for next year. And accordingly, the growth next year should be extremely strong. Probably the efforts that we are taking at the company level and also the favorable base, like at some point of time, entry level demand should pick up.
Yes. So again, three things I would make. You know, one is in the shorter term, which is starting Q3, margins should improve because this quarter, even on margins, is seeing the impact of some of the legacy higher cost inventories. So the first pickup that you'll see is margins starting Q3. I think Q4 onwards, I would be slightly more bullish on the demand and consumer situation, etc. As that happens, we should start seeing more growth in general. And more than that, next fiscal, you know, as a result of all the various things that we're doing, including the product expansion, penetration into premium segments, etc., that should add further delta to us. I think all of these are three tailwinds that we see in our favor.
Right. So should we take, like, if you look at the consumer product segment, where margins actually are contracted by roughly around 300 basis points. So probably from 3Q onwards, we can expect some improvement over there on YOY basis and obviously on sequential basis, and accordingly, margins should move northwards from the current level.
Yes, so margins will move northward to that point that you made mention that, you know, our margins have contracted 300 basis points. So compare that to our peers, our contraction is least, I would say. Okay, that's because we managed to hopefully navigate that slightly better. Though on absolutes, we're yet playing catch up, but the gap has become narrow versus competition. So that's both a mix of, you know, us focusing on costs better, but also starting to realize slightly better FLMs. And therefore, I think going forward, where I see margin expansion happen for us is first at an FLM expansion, FLM meaning gross margin. So as the cost structure has become better of our goods, we do see those margins come down, clearly a northward movement in that.
It's the last question, if I may squeeze in. Just to understand on the fan side, like how things are shaping up with regards to the change in energy norms. So probably what would be the overall impact on Bajaj Electricals, given that we have lower exposure on the mass premium and on the premium side. So what would be the overall thought process and strategy for next probably 12 to 15 months that you can highlight?
So firstly, I think this quarter, which is Q3 and next quarter Q4, we will see a lot of volatility in the fans industry, okay, because of this conversion to star rating regime. While it is rolled out and notified from 1st July 22, it will be enforced strictly from 1st of January 23 in terms of no more sales happening by any of us branded manufacturers from 1st of January 23. To that extent, you will see a certain sudden, you know, movement of all the non-star rated fans getting liquidated or sold by 31st December. And to that extent, some of the impact in the trade channel, which we've seen in Q2, also will continue Q3, is different players will, you know, what should I say, respond differently or react differently. But there's a certain amount of destocking happening in the channels, etc. Okay, and there will be some amount of discounting as that goes on to 31st December. We'll see how each player deals with that, including ourselves. We are going to be very dynamic on that front. From 1st of January is when the star rating kicks in. There will be a certain price enhancement because star rated fans will come at a slight higher cost. I do think that, you know, while all of us will move to star-rated fans selling on a primary sales basis, for another 6 months thereafter, the market will see both of these continue. There will be non-star-rated fans that are existing in the marketplace that price-sensitive or certain consumers will continue to buy, and there will be a large chunk of consumers that will gradually move on to star-rated fans and be willing to pay that premium. In that playout, I think you will continue to see some volatility and distortion into how the fans market behaves in the coming summer season. But to your question, you know, of 12 to 18 months, I think all of this should start stabilizing by around June 23. And thereon, I think you will see greater consolidation in favor of the top 5-6 organized players, including Bajaj. We are very much prepared for this shift to star-rated, you know, fans. Our products are ready, and this is also along with our journey of premiumizing. So you are seeing that happen across. Like I already mentioned in my opening comments, our you know, contribution of premium fans is enhanced. You will continue to see a greater value gain for us, market share gain for us, and an increase in ASPs and therefore margin expansion for us in the fans category. So all of these three or four metrics will improve for us.
Right, sir. So that was very helpful. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, my first question was, would it be possible to break the consumer products in terms of volume and pricing? What has been the volume decline and the price increase or decline, if you could, for the consumer product?
So, Achal, we can give that out, but if you see total consumer X lighting is about 2.8% decline. So clearly the volume decline is more because this is after factoring in price increase. And that's the general commentary we're saying, that volume decline across consumer sectors has been the case here.
Understood. The second question was, you know, with respect to, you know, what is the extent of cost reductions we have seen till now? How much has got passed on or, you know, as we speak? So how do we look at that? Because, you know, if the cost is getting reduced, which is getting passed on, it can impact the revenue growth unless the volumes are, you are able to offset that through volume increase. If you could give some clarity on the same.
So my personal view is, you know, firstly, the cost reduction is fairly healthy. So all of us have, you know, benefited or will benefit from that as our inventory churns out across commodities. Okay, except for oil, which is, and paper, which is not that much lower, but most of our core metals, etc., is lower. In Q2, I believe all of us could have had slightly higher margins, but there are, you know, one or two players that took some pricing decisions to reduce price and pass on that cost reduction, which I'm not sure was the right decision to take. Okay, and the reason is because I don't think that has, in this environment, you've not seen demand elasticity where you've taken a cost reduction that has not translated to volume growth. Therefore, I think there will be a lesson in that. Hopefully in Q3, etc., we will, you know, not now pass on further price reductions. At least Bajaj will not be passing on further price reductions, etc. We would rather protect margins in a situation where price reduction is not leading to volume growth. So I think that's a balance that we have to strike, but we will be slightly more cautious on passing on any price reductions at this point of time. I don't think industry also has, with most of the two results that you see across industry, I don't think industry also has the wherewithal to, you know, reduce prices. So I think that will be a healthier direction for all of us to follow.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just have one question. we understand that, you know, the entry level products have seen, you know, the worst intensity of demand due to inflation, and apparently the mid and the premium range have not done so badly. Apparently, now I see your mop initials have actually seen a sharper 25% drop. So just want to understand what has really transpired in this specific category. and your thought process on this entire Morphe-Richard placement that you intend to do. So that's my first question. Thank you.
So Rahul, I'll try and explain that. You're correct on asking this question. You have to understand also leader brands versus long tail brands. Okay. So if I take, if you're a overall large brand who has a more premium positioning and premium range of offerings, those are the ones that are secure in this market because they are yet the ones in a weak market environment that are getting stocked and then getting purchased. Morphe-Richard is a premium brand but a more niche brand and therefore a relatively longer tail brand. So that's not the one that typically is the first point of stocking for retailers, etc. That's a generic answer I will give it to you. Number two, more strategically for us in Morphe, like I've explained in the past, we've just signed, you know, in the recent past, the 15-year license renewal deal that runs into 2037. Till this point of time, Morphe was a more tactical approach for us in, as far as product offerings, product development was concerned. We were not really creating a strategic product roadmap and developing our products that are catered specifically for the Indian market. With this deal in place, we are now on that journey where we are creating a very tailored, self-developed, you know, Morphe product roadmap that you will see play out over the next 2 years or out. So from 1 year out to about 2-3 years out, you will see that play out. As that starts happening, I think we'll have a far more targeted range of products under the Morphe brand that are yet premium, but customized for the Indian consumer and distinct from the Bajaj brand. As that happens, along with that, we're going to have a far more targeted Morphe brand strategy. Some of that you've seen play out right now. We've got a first new identity campaign of Morphe-Richard as happiness engineer. We've included one slide on that in the investor deck. So that's just setting the stage for us to look at the Morphe brand very differently strategically, both at a product and at a brand level. So that journey for Morphe will be different. Today, Morphe is caught between both the things. It does not have a strategic footprint or roadmap or a direction for it, and is a niche premium but niche brand that does not get the benefit of this current environment. I don't know if you got what I'm saying.
Yes, thanks. And is it right to expect that Morphe-Richard will cut across all the categories that Bajaj is catering to? Is that
not
something
all,
that
because there will be, you know, without revealing it all, it will not be all, but Bajaj will cater to more categories. But there's a higher overlap today. Going forward, the overlap will reduce over the next 2-3 years as we come out with this product roadmap that we're working on. So there will be some unique categories in Morphe that do not exist today, either for Morphe or Bajaj.
Thanks. Anuj, the last question I've got,
quick examples, and, I think we've shown the garment steamer in the investor deck, that is their coffee maker. These are currently two unique categories to Morphe. But just to give an example of categories that Morphe will more focus on and grow out, which Bajaj may or may not do.
Got it. The last question, I just wanted to touch upon the lighting business. I see that you've done well on the lighting business, with limited decline, and I think very good improvement on the operating performance. Are there any stocks which are sitting over here, or these are the kind of margins that you'd expect in the lighting business?
So firstly, in the lighting business, it's a separate BU now that consolidates the consumer lighting and the professional lighting. The consumer lighting actually has degrown in Q2, but I'm not worried about that because that's part of the transition where we're changing the sales team, go-to-market, creating fresh distribution partnerships, etc. So there's a little pullback because of that. I think that should normalize by December. Post that, you'll see strong growth in the consumer lighting business also, both on the back of new products, some of which we've showcased, and on this whole restructuring of the distribution, stabilizing and falling in place. So once consumer lighting also kicks into growth, you will see even faster growth. Right now, the numbers right now are despite the degrowth of consumer, but back to the professional lighting growth, that's on the top line of lighting. On the margins, etc., we expect margin expansion both in consumer and professional lighting, and therefore overall basis also, we'll see healthy margins. Our ratio currently is a mix of professional to consumer is slightly more professional. Therefore, the blend is slightly lower. As I think professional will continue to expand margins, but as consumer lighting grows over the next 1-2 years, that will kick in healthy double digits. So from here on, our margins in that should keep growing also. So just to summarize, you will see top line growth from Q4, I would say, in lighting business. Along with that, as the mix gradually changes towards consumer, you will see margin expansion in both, and with the mix becoming favorable, you'll see more exponential margin growth in overall lighting.
Thank you. That's very helpful. All the very best.
I just want to add a statement. That's one core reason why we carved out lighting a separate BU to bring a lot more focus and growth in that area. It will be a value driver for us going forward.
No, certainly. Certainly. I think this will be very helpful, you know, for us also to, you know, understand exactly what part of the business is doing better and where is the improvement expected. Thanks. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question from the line of Arun Agrawal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, could you just also touch upon how the appliances, you know, demand is panning out at this point in time? And also, you could just help out how your festive season this time has been as compared to last year.
So, you know, appliance demand is a mixed bag, like I said in my earlier commentary. Q2 was a tough quarter. I think Q3, because of the festive part, has started off well. But I think on both sides of the festive, I think is relatively slightly yet a little mixed bag that we're seeing. I'm yet hopeful that, you know, you will start seeing or you're bottoming out on the demand scenario. I'm yet hopeful from here you'll start seeing an improvement in demand situation. One of the best data points that I've seen recently is the CMIE jobs data, I think this morning that I read, that they've come out with yesterday. And that's important because a lot of the demand right now, like I've been saying, is being run by the premium, which is the upper, you know, affluent class that is not impacted. But it's important for middle class, the salary job, you know, segment to kick in on the consumer demand side. The jobs data looking good. I think that segment, middle class, should kick in. So I think that will be a big boost to demand going forward. Lastly, will the rural boost. So I think demand situation should look good going forward. The tailwind to that will also be the margins expansion.
All right. Thanks. My second question, sir, is on the ETC collection you touched upon at the start of the comment. So could you just help out how they have panned out post-October and what would be your CAPEX plan this year?
Yeah. So EPC collection in Q2 was very low. While there's been some reduction in receivables as we put out, it was very low. So our current performance is despite that. But post that, in the month of October, we've collected close to a further 100 crores on the EPC side, which is a healthy collection. And that's both, you know, brought down our receivables and enhanced our cash flow also. And finally, on CapEx, I think we continue to maintain current trajectory of CapEx. There's no big, large ticket CapEx. There is CapEx towards IT systems, molds, tools, dies, certain, you know, capacity expansions or debottlenecking at our existing plants, but not any big ticket CapEx in the immediate near future.
All right. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Dhruv.
We can hear you.
Hi, sir. So I had a question on margins. So in your opening remarks, you touched upon, you know, premiumization and how you're going to drive it ahead. And also you've done some, you know, changes on the brand front. So, you know, last 4 quarters, we've seen a margin sequentially going off. But and we know that in this year, we've seen a lot of volatility in the industry. But say, you know, in FY24 or 25, you know, how are you looking at margins in the consumer business? You know, any thoughts there? Because you've given a very clear roadmap on the revenue side. So how should we think about the margin?
So Dhruv, our margins will continue to expand. Traditionally, you've always said you should have a 1 percentage point expansion in margins. If I were to put my stick my neck out at this point of time, if commodities stay benign, if there's no sharp volatility or adverse volatility in commodities, I think we should comfortably beat that 1 percentage point margin expansion over the next 2 years till FY25 that you say, because there will be a certain normal expansion through our, you know, internal initiatives and a certain catch-up expansion because of the commodities cooling off, etc. So I think, you know, without putting a hard number there, if you read between what I'm saying, you should see a healthy margin expansion by FY25 for us, yeah.
Sure, sir. And, you know, if you could just talk about the brand, you know, change that you are looking to do, you know, how should we think about it? And if there's any significant change in the go-to-market strategy for you guys there. Thanks.
So firstly, the brand, and I've alluded to it in the past calls, that we have been working on an overall brand architecture for the company and each of the brands. And, you know, the latest brand campaign that you see of Bajaj Built for Life is not a regular brand campaign, etc. It's a fundamental recreation of the new Bajaj that we are building out for the next many years to come. It's far more younger, far more aspirational, far more focused, far more sharply targeted, and far more premium, you know, look, feel, attitude, etc. to that. And that runs across the grammar of the, you know, creative, the TVC, the digital campaign, the print campaign, etc. What this, you know, why it's taken time and why we're doing this, it's not just a brand campaign. Our products will talk this language. So if you look at the products, etc., they're all reflecting the new Bajaj, which is far more better designed aesthetic, but even on performance and engineering, etc., there's a lot of work that has gone into that. For the next, you know, many quarters that you'll see, all our products will now mirror this, all our products under the Bajaj brand will now reflect this new brand identity and in terms of the consumer promise, okay? As we do that, I think that's going hand in hand with our journey towards premiumization. So I think, you know, the emotional connect of the brand with the urban, affluent, premium consumer will be much better with this new brand positioning and the product, both aesthetically and the performance engineering that has gone into these products. And you'll see that roll out category by category, starting with water heaters. You'll see the water heaters campaign roll out in the next, you know, few days to a couple of weeks. And this will all build from this platform of Bajaj Build for Life, the newer, younger, more aspiration Bajaj. As we start doing that, that's why we're confident both on our top line growth and margins as that this will release. Now, this is only Bajaj that we're talking about. When we're talking overall brand architecture, we will be a organization, a house of multiple brands. The second brand that you'll see get repositioned, which is just in the first flavor of that, is the Morphe Richards one. But like I spoke earlier, in the next 2 years, we have a product roadmap that will play out for Morphe Richards also. The third brand, I think some of that action you should see by end of next year will be on Nidlep, how we reposition Nidlep and the product offerings that will come out under Nidlep. And from there on, we'll build on that. So next 2-3 years, you will see significant action from us on brand and on product.
Thank you, sir. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Chirag Lodia from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was on demerger status. If you can just help us understand what is the status.
Yeah. So Chirag, demerger is taking time. We are waiting approvals. Between you and me, we expect SEBI approval to come very soon. Once that's in, then we'll be filing for NCLT. Our initial target was, or expectation or hope was, that we will get it in the OND quarter. Now it looks more likely that we should have it by March. That's our best estimate at this point of time.
Right. So if we get it by March, so by Q2 next year, demerger can happen?
Yeah, it can happen immediately right after that. So our, what do you call it, appointed? First April.
Got it.
So the effective date, sorry, just confirming the team. So effective date will remain 1st April 2022. The appointed date, which is when does it actually happen, will be immediately after we get approval. So it could be as early as 1st April 23. I'm sorry, it's the reverse. My team corrects me. So this read my appointed and effective dates the other way around. Yeah.
Okay, got it. And sir, second question was on consumer lighting. So you mentioned that, you know, by Q4, we should expect the growth to kick in consumer lighting business. If you can just help us understand what kind of, you know, product introductions we are doing, what kind of, you know, range expansion we have done, and you know, what kind of trajectory we could expect from
consumer lighting. Traditionally, you know, we had lost our space in terms of the LED transition, and then we had largely become a lamps player, etc. We had not created value-added products, which we've been doing in the last 2-3 quarters, which is, you know, adding more battens, adding more, you know, panels, downlights, etc., and also upgrading or adding more value-added lamps. Again, we've showcased a few examples of that in our investor deck across this, how we are rolling out more value-added products and targeted products in consumer lighting. I do think we have some more catch-ups to do on the product front in consumer lighting, even post this. Post Q2 and Q3 also, we rolled out some new products as recently as last week. I think that journey of rolling out new products in consumer lighting will continue over the next 2-4 quarters. And as that keeps happening, I think our growth in consumer lighting will outpace the market or industry, and our margins will continue to expand. On the go-to-market front also, that's the reason we carved out that business effective July, more as a preparation for all of these product launches that we're doing. We are, you know, our teams, it took time to create the sales team and go-to-market team for consumer lighting. I think we're 85% there. You know, therefore the go-to-market in terms of on the ground in the field, I think by December that should be fully stabilized. So you will see an improvement in Q3 over Q2 on our go-to-market and revenues on consumer lighting. but you'll see the full benefits of that from Q4 on the go-to-market. And as we continue expanding products, the benefits of product and range expansion will continue thereafter.
Very clear, sir. Just extending this, what is driving confidence on margins? Because, you know, earlier expectation was, you know, maybe high single digit kind of margins in lighting, but we have significantly surpassed that number. So if you can just give, what are the drivers which are, you know, putting this margin
so,
of 10%?
So two things. One is consumer lighting. As we are upgrading our products and getting better traction on that, there is a little better confidence in that. But the bigger confidence where the change in mindset has happened is in professional lighting. Traditionally, professional lighting, till 2 years ago, we were losing money. FY22, we just about broke even. My guess was, you know, we will not beat a 4-5% margin in professional lighting. But we have been innovating on professional lighting also on products. And despite it being a tender-based business, which is typically, you know, low on margins, I think it's because of innovations, technology, superior proposition, that we have managed to actually crack the margin slightly better on that. That said, I would put a little caveat to professional lighting margins because it's a B2B tender-based business. For that to get to double digits will always be difficult. As long as we maintain a healthy single digit on professional lighting and top it up with, you know, consumer lighting growth and traction being faster, so hopefully that blended margins from being the high single digit, we should start inching towards a double digit margin on an aggregate basis too.
Got it. Very clear. Thank you, Anand.
I'll just add to that, you know, to give an example on my previous point on professional lighting, and we've given one slide as an example of the stadium lighting that we've done. Okay. You know, we've really innovated on that. Today, we do believe we have the best product technologically and from a financial cost proposition on stadium lighting. And that is something where we're able to deliver a better price point, a cost point to the, you know, customer, but actually with a higher margin to ourselves. So if we can crack more such sweet spots, we're doing that across smart street lighting. We are intend to do that across indoor commercial lighting, etc. As we target industry verticals, hopefully we'll try and get the balance right on these things.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. The first was was a housekeeping question. If I look at your other expenditure, including the subcontracting expenses, on a QOQ basis, we've seen a decline, right? 8% kind of a decline, whereas sales are broadly flat. So is there anything to call out here?
Let me just check 1 second. Okay, I think that's ad spend. So last quarter was about 3.5%. This quarter is 2.3% or something, if I'm correct. I think.
Okay. Yeah. So it's largely ad spend. So from an annual basis, what could be, what kind of numbers are we looking at? I mean, sustainably, should we be somewhere around 3% or so on an annual basis?
On ad spends, you mean? So the 2.3% is low. You know, typically we always guided that we'll be 4%+. It will vary quarter on quarter. You know, Q3 will see a jump up. Also for us, you will see a jump up in Q3 because we've done the brand relaunch. You know, as we do that, that is something we've done an aggressive launch on and launch campaign on. So Q3 and Q4, you will see a jump up in ad spends, both because of brand launch in Q3 and Q4 typically is at the cusp of summer. So you do have the fans and cooler campaign that kicks in.
And the second question is more on your comment. I think earlier in the call you mentioned that going forward your stance would be not to really pass on price reduction in case you are not seeing any improvement on the volume side. But I'm just coming from, I mean, the current situation that you're looking at least especially on the fan side, which would be a key product category for us. As you rightly mentioned, it could be, you could see a lot of volatility, you could see varying strategies taken by clear. So in that context, in the context that we are really still not completely sure of how the demand kind of picks up, do you think that maybe for some time more you could continue to see volatility in margin and the margin improvement could get maybe slightly pushed out?
So two parts to your, you know, question. One is on the fans, I do expect some volatility on sales, volumes and margins on fans, but that will be a little more tactical and dynamic on a response to market conditions and competition moves. You know, I would think, like I said, to repeat what I said, from the lessons of Q2, we will all learn that price is not the way to, you know, compete. There are many other ways to compete, okay? But we will have to be tactical in that, you know, segment. That said, my comments on prices are more at a broader level across product categories, across that we do not see the need to take price cuts, and we will maintain that at least for most other categories. In fans is the smaller category for us here. Despite all of this, even if there's a fans, you know, price war of some sort, etc., we do think margins will improve despite that because of the cooling of commodity and the benefits on inventory. So I think that is the cure for us. We don't see any risk to margin expansion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Sorry, I got disconnected earlier. What I wanted to check was if you could help us with the A&P spend specifically for the first quarter and the second quarter of FY23 and like-to-like for the last year.
Yeah, sure. So our spends in Q1 was 35 crores and spends in Q2 is 23 crores. And last year, Q2 was also 23 crores.
Understood. The second question I had, with respect to the EPC margin, how do we look at this now? Is it now very much comfortably in positive territory? But the margin in this quarter, we saw it closer to 8-9%. So how do we look at the margin from, full year?
You have to analytically look at it very different consumer. There will not be linearity in that, and margins at 8-9%, is on a very low revenue base, etc. I think the business has bottomed out. We are now going to get into a build phase for EPC. So most of the legacy projects are operationally closed. All the legacy problems are done. From here on, the revenues and the margins of the EPC business will depend on the total business order book size. If you look at the order book size also, I think March was about 7. So March is about 800 crores, this is excluding illumination, which is now up to about 1350 crores because we've got a fair number of orders in the power transmission business. I think directionally over the next 2-3 years, we're aiming to build a consistent revenue run rate or order book size annually about 1500, 2000, 2500 crores. Okay. And I think that is achievable from what we built out now. The issue we'll have over the next 1 or 2 quarters, because we've just secured some of these orders, the next 1 or 2 quarters, the revenue will not kick in. It will kick in by, let's say, Feb, March 23 and into Q1 of next fiscal. Till that point of time, you may see a certain softness on margins because we'll need the revenues to kick in to contribute to margins there. So there will be some lumpiness, low revenues and profitability in Q3, Q4, but bounce back healthily from Q1 next year. The important point, all these new orders that we're getting in order book that we're building now, they're very confident from our, how we bid for it, the cost and price strategies, etc. They will be healthy margin orders. Coming back to your original question, I do think these orders and these projects will deliver you 8 to 10% margins. But on a higher base and therefore on a total absolute number, this will look very healthy from Q1 next year.
And it also means that there won't be any further capital allocation to EPC business given the revenue.
So we don't expect, because also while margins have been carefully calibrated in this bidding, but also working capital and payment terms, etc., that has been very carefully calculated in all of these things. So plus minus 100 crores is fine, but this will not go to a very high 1,000 crore kind of a capital employed business. Yeah.
Got it. And just one more question, if I may. If you could talk about, is there any change in the thought process with respect to the TOC, the way we have been selling? Is there any change in thought process? Is it more tactical? Is it more structural, medium-term change we see?
So I think there are many layers to that. Okay, I think TOC as a concept in terms of managing inventory replenishment ROI for our distributors and stocking levels, that hygiene we will maintain. Where we are starting to become more flexible and tactical is in certain product categories or certain market sub segments, etc., require certain different approaches. And where we find this constraining us, we are being a little more flexible on that. Two examples that I will give you. One is lighting business. Lighting business, even on consumer side, was not conducive for TOC and was hampering us. and therefore we've revisited TOC and relaxed some of those norms, and we will see the growth benefit of that. We saw some of that in Q4 FY22, and as a, well, I said, as I, you know, go to market changes, we will see the benefits of lighting outside of a TOC approach. The second thing we are start seeing that is in the fans business, as this change happens to, you know, regime of star rated, etc. These are points where these normal rules don't apply. So you have to be far more tactical in go to market, and we will take those calls. So the guiding principle for us finally will be what is better for business and what will drive growth for us. We will not be constrained by anything on that front. Where we will not let go the benefits of TOC is the penetration that it has given us and reach that has given us. So that is benefits that are there, that are secure, and we'll continue to have the benefits of that in terms of our model of direct reach to counters. But other tactical elements of that, we'll be flexible on that. So net-net, what we're saying, we'll keep the benefits of that, secure that, but whether the tactical go-to-market on certain categories, on certain urban centers, that we will not let TOC come in the way of it.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Anirudh. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, questions. So now Mahindra Logistics, almost, I guess, 2 years are over. So if you can indicate the actual benefits received by the company in absolute terms, means even if you indicate the rupee term benefit that the company would have enjoyed, or any additional benefit in terms of that qualitative benefit that you would like to share, point one. And secondly, sir, if you can indicate the market shares across categories for the company at the end of September. Yeah, that's it.
So first on logistics, and I'll keep my comments very brief. I don't think we've realized the full benefits of on the logistics front. You know, I'll keep my comments limited to that, but we are working at that. And we keep working on that. Hopefully, in the coming 1 or 2 quarters, we'll have more specifics to share with you on that frontier. I'm sorry, the second part of the question, you mentioned something about categories. I didn't catch that.
Market shares of key categories.
Yeah. While we don't publish market shares, you know, we do believe we've gained market shares, continue to gain market shares. In fans in particular, I've called that out in the past. We have been gaining market share, particularly premium fans, which is important for us. In appliances too, when we look at a sub-segmental level, geographically we are gaining share. Because of the mix, our mix of urban versus tier 1, 2 towns versus rural, it optically seems that we're not versus a couple of players. But if we look at a 3-year CAGR, that's why I call that out. You know, our consumer business has grown at 14.3% on a 3-year basis. To compare that to competition, overall, on aggregate basis, we have been gaining share.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just really one question. You know, you talked about in the APC business, you know, now you'll be looking at, you know, new bids, new business. So, you know, this will be primarily, you know, focused on India. Are you looking at, you know, any sort of international you know, markets here, you know, as well? How does this sort of play out?
So this will be a mix. It will be predominantly India, but there's a certain amount that we're doing in Africa. We've done over the last 1 or 2 years. We've had a good experience in Africa, primarily East Africa, where good experience both in terms of, you know, project execution, closure, ourselves with our team and with the subcontractors. We've got a good experience there and got a good fix on that. Secondly, even on terms of payment, realization, etc., we've had a positive experience in some of these geographies. And third, in terms of profitability, these projects have been closed profitably and earned profits for us. That gives us the confidence to bid a little more for that. So we are doing that in the international markets, but predominantly in the same regions where we've had the good experience and we have some teams on the ground and our ability to execute that. That said, you know, beyond the point, we do not want to scale that up. We want to keep that as a certain finite absolute value. So that's our strategy, but we believe that we'll be value accretive to us. The only other element we may look at in the international market is pure supply. So pure supplies, we think we can supply to wider geographies, even though we may not want to execute in all geographies. That is something we're starting to explore. We have not yet, you know, formed up our specific plans on that. But supplies, we believe, are risk-free compared to project execution. coming back to India, I think India will remain probably 80 or 90% of our total business contribution for the EPC business here. Within India also, we are being very strategic in terms of projects that we accept, either the end client or particular states that we work with, or just the terms of the project and the bidding that we, you know, enter into.
Yeah, thank you for this. Just one for a small follow-up. When you sort of mean, you know, supplies, you're talking about, you know, LEDs, you're talking about which sort of segment?
I was answering in the context of EPC, so it's, you know, poles or, you know, some of those things, towers, etc. But it's a supply. There's this risk-free contract. I don't have to worry about geography so much. And I get paid and I supply. When there's execution in the international market, then I need to be more confident that I have the execution ability on ground and the quality of subcontractors and how long it will take. So, therefore, in execution, we are going to be very focused and limited. On supplies, it's just a more speculative comment. We are open to exploring that, but we'll see what opportunities come our way.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Rakesh Roy from Indsec Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have one question, sir. One question is, sir, regarding, when we say that the fan business is impacted by, sir, new norms, sir. This is implemented from 1st January. So how much stock we have at dealer level? Because if not happen, then what happens? Do we have to write back or what happens, sir?
No, so our stock, I would say, is not something out of control. It's a very much manageable levels. We do have a plan from now till December also, how we're going to deal with that. So I'm not overly concerned about that, both at our end and as well as in the chain. Yeah.
Okay, sir. And after B norm implemented, sir, how much price hike compared to normal fan, sir? Generally, sir?
So, like for like category or fan, you know, segment, I think the price hike could be anywhere between 15 to 20%. Yeah.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Participants
who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Jiten Doshi from Elam AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anuj. Many congratulations for a good turnaround in the EPC. My question is just simple, that in the entire program that you were talking about achieving over 3 years, you believe there is sufficient progress made despite the headwinds right now, and where do you think you are in the journey?
So, Jiten bhai, thank you for joining and for your question, you know, and thank you for your words. We believe, and that's, I think, the headline for us in this quarter also. I think the headwinds are there, the economy is tough, but if you look at our actions and our directional follow-through on each of these, that continues unabated, okay? And I just called some of those out again. The EPC turnaround, which we've been talking about for the longest time, both not just in terms of receivables, but on bottom line, and now the way the order book is shaping up, that is trending very well, and makes us very confident that whether in this company, post-demerger, separate company, the outlook for that business is very healthy. We're very confident about that, number one. Number two, if you look at the other structural changes that we've done and spoken about, the lighting business carved out as a separate focus, the team changes that we're making there, you're starting to see the results of that right now. You've seen that on bottom line. And like I said, top line, in fact, you know, despite some of the changes, we're very confident that we'll see top line growth also in the lighting business in the coming, you know, few quarters and couple of years. There again, in fact, let me headline, I didn't say that earlier. We were probably a number seven player in FY19, then moved to number five. Now we're number three player. We're clearly gaining market share and rank, and we will keep making those strides. Lastly, coming to the consumer business, that is, of course, the largest, you know, most complex part of our business. But all these changes that we're making, most recent being the brand and the product push, hopefully you've seen some of the campaign around that. If you start seeing that, that will give you a little flavor of the aggression we've planned for the next 2-3 years. Like I always say, we are just starting out. Last 2-3 years have been really a lot of focus on cleaning up legacy, corporate structural, these restructuring issues, etc. Next 2-3 years are completely focused on, you know, operational excellence and aggression. And all of this that you're seeing on the product and brand front is just the start of that. And next 2-3 years, you will see the benefits of that. We are very confident about that.
So you are absolutely on track as far as your long-term goal is concerned.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. And to compare yourself with the best in class, which is, you know, the margins that were experienced by the top players.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Fantastic. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Many congratulations and all the very best to you, Anuj.
Thank you, Jitin bhai.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
So just a follow-up question. You just mentioned about the price hike that you may require of 15% to 20%. But when we go through the commentary from some of the peers, so few players have been talking about 5% to 8%. You guys have been talking about around 8%. Can you throw some light, like what exactly gives this change within commentaries, especially in the organized space on the fans category?
So I'm not clear if you're talking price hike or the cost differential between star-rated and non-star-rated fans. The 5 to 8%, I don't think anybody would say the cost differential is only that much. The cost differential on a like-for-like similar specification product that is star-rated will be between 15 to 20%. Then the way to
5 to 8% is for the price hikes. Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to differentiate. The price hikes, I'm not talking 15-20%. In fact, my view is you will not see price hikes in our industry over the next coming few months. The 15 to 20% that I referred to is the cost impact and the implication or impact of the move to star rating for fans in particular. There, that will, nobody can escape that. That is the price differential between a high star rated fan versus a legacy non-energy efficient fan. There again, there will be tactical moves where not everybody will gravitate. When I say everybody, it means consumer will gravitate to paying 15-20% more. So you will have, fans of various technical specifications that will, not give you the maximum energy efficiency and will compromise on or be able to manage lower prices. But on a like for like, to give you that is what my answer was, that it's a 15-20% delta on the technical costs of, delivering that fan. So was I able to clarify? Price hike is a different aspect. This is a cost impact of a conversion to star rating.
Right. That was clear.
If you're buying a premium fan today, which is non-star rated, if you buy the same premium fan, the price cost impact would be 15 to 20%. But you could provide that person a slightly, stripped down, slightly lesser premium fan, and therefore instead of 15-20% cost impact to that person, he may settle for a 8-10% incremental price with slightly lesser decorative features but higher on the star rating. So there's many blends that will happen.
Right. So it should be somewhere around 5 to 10% for the industry from player to player. There would be some difference.
So there'll be many things at play, forces at play. I do think, and that's my earlier commentary, till June 23, you will see a lot of, volatility in all of these behaviors. Consumers also, the government and we may move to star rated on 1st Jan. Not all consumers will shift to that. So there will be stock of non-star rated fans in the marketplace that consumers will continue to buy. But over the medium to long term, that shift will be 100%. In the short term, it will be a, blended market.
Right, sir. Understood, sir. That was very helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now hand it over to the management for closing comments.
So actually, my closing comments were meant to be on strategically, we are very firm on where we are going. Directionally, we are delivering on all of these things. From an action point, we are, as you see, constantly taking those actions and meeting those, matching up to the direction that we are promising. I did elaborate on some of that in my response to Jitin Bhai, so therefore I'm not repeating that. But I would just wrap it up by saying that in a tough environment, we remain very focused on execution and on delivering our performance, and we are confident about continuing to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.